Hey guys, it's Fat Mascara and it's Jen, minus Jess, who is in LA visiting her friends. But I have a fun co-host, David Seth Moltz.
What's up?
Yay, he's here. So we're going to talk about two topics at the top like we usually do and then do an interview. David is the co-founder of DS and Durga Fragrances. So he's going to be our big interview. But before that, he's going to play podcast co-host.
Rad.
Okay, so the things we're going to talk about first up, can the streetwear model of selling move its way into the beauty industry? And then David and I share a love of tattoos. So we're going to talk about tattoo care, but also really just ink and our artists. Yeah. Okay, let's get into it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. So David and I read this article in Business of Fashion, What Beauty Can Learn from Streetwear. I thought of you when I read this article because, I don't know if you remember this, you have a lovely store down in Nolita for DS and Durga. And I got there one day to look at some new fragrance and you had this t-shirt that I had seen on Instagram on like cool people, but I didn't know where it came from and it was really exclusive and it said, Ood Me.
Yeah. It's made with our friend's monogram.
I know. So I was like, he knows about this model of selling wherein, you know, the exclusivity is the thing, right?
So I guess it supposedly is, but I've had a long like think about this after. And I got to say, like, I don't know if this is cool, but contrary to that article, I really think in terms of like inclusion, I am not our brand is what it is. And we want to make fun little things as like, say like texture items just to like, you know, just because we can and it's fun things to do. But I don't like the idea of being like only this people can have it. Like anyone who walks in the store, I'd love to talk to them about fragrance or they can email or like, I just really believe in like pushing perfume and like the art of perfume to more people.
So the writer who was Rachel Strugatz, she was talking about how Glossier is kind of in on this. Like, actually, you're kind of near their space downtown. Mm-hmm. They have lines out the door the way that like Foot Locker does when there's a new shoe drop or I'm trying to think like Supreme.
Supreme is the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, if it's not manufactured, if it just happens, like, you know, I was walking by Supreme in London like last week.
Yeah.
And it takes you a while because you see these lines and you're like, what is that? Like, oh, there's a Supreme store. Why is it so there's only like two people in the store at once and then they wait? Why can't you allow like 20 people in the store or 10? I just don't understand it. If it's manufactured, then I feel like that's not that fair to the consumer. But if it's because like in Supreme's case, like everyone does want this limited thing, then I totally do get it. So if it happened that, you know, we made something and there was like a line and you have to do it, fine. But I wouldn't want to go personally with the model of making, I do like making like small limited things again for fun, but I wouldn't want to do it to like,
as a business model.
As a business model to exclude anyone.
Yeah, that's the thing. I also think as I was reading this, they were talking about Malin and Goetz did a line with Kith, as did Estee Lauder. I was like, the minute you start talking about this is your business philosophy, you immediately become uncool. True or not true? Like if I was like, oh, I'm only going to make 100 of these, and then you actually tell the press you're only making 100, then everybody kind of is like, you suck.
Yeah, I guess, again, I feel like if you're doing it for the buzz and not, it's very different because one of the things that makes our company so different is that I really am the perfumer and Kavi really is the designer, right? Mm-hmm. So we are like making this like art piece thing that we love, this story, and then like presenting it to you. Whereas, you know, traditionally a perfume brand is more like someone has ideas and they go to a perfumer and they're like, hey, can you make something that smells like my grandmother's house in the 60s or whatever? Mm-hmm. And that person doesn't know the grandma, has never been there, and they translate that person's idea. So they are marketing someone else's like art. And yeah. So you have to think of it in terms of like, you know, how are we like going to market this thing? Whereas ours, we're not thinking like, oh, I need to market this one to that person. It's this thing I made and that I love and want to share. So it's, you
okay,
know what I mean?
But what about that t-shirt? Back to that t-shirt. Uh-huh. Who made the t-shirts?
That's our good friends, Monograms. And I've always wanted to make these t-shirts that say like, I heart Vetiver. Like I wanted it to be like the New York, like I heart New York, but uh-huh. Vetiver. And like, patchouli is misunderstood and like just little like things about perfume. And there was going to be an oud one and Lisa Mayock came up with that. And she
what's
said,
her company's name, the t-shirt company?
They're called Monogram Studio. They're out in LA. They're incredible. I mean, really. So their t-shirts are like really great fitting. And for me, like I just had the idea of like the look, but the quality is so thin and nice and everything. Yeah. And so she did that like very graphic, like oud me, mm-hmm. The way it looks. But, you know, like when it sold out, but it wasn't like a...
On purpose, we're only making a few.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, we did this thing with our friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you're not buying into this model is what I hear you saying. That's fine.
Yeah, listen, I streetwear is rad. I wear like J's and I love hip hop and that whole culture. So I'm totally interested in making sense based on like hip hop or sports or skateboarding. Like I have many ideas in that realm. So like... stylistically, I love it.
So if Supreme came to you and and they were like, we want to make the DS and Durga skateboard limited edition decks.
Dude, let's do it.
Okay, David, how's it been being the co-host so far?
It's really fun.
We should give you a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next
I'm
topic.
Verbose.
You are verbose. That's why I asked you to come on the show.
I'm trying very hard to talk slow, though. Every single time I hear myself on a podcast, man, I'm just like...
Same
so
with me.
Fast and high pitched.
I just heard
New York
one.
Jew.
I think also I might just be over caffeinated. Yep. Sometimes I talk really fast. Let's have a nice chill.
Tattoos.
It's tattoo talk with David and Jen. Don't slurp your water. Okay.
Sounds like a bong.
Okay, so I noticed this about you. Actually, I noticed about Kavi, your wife, mm-hmm. first. She has some amazing ink. I love her snake on her hand. But you also have a lot of tattoos, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
How long have you been getting them?
Me, not as long. She's had them since she was, you know, very young. Me, only like 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Forget you. Where's Kavi?
I know.
Is she
She's
working
OG.
Today?
I'll tell you this, though. I worked at St. Helens Cafe when Saved Open and Scott Campbell used to tattoo everyone for free. And I like just didn't fucking... I just it was so stupid of me.
It was your first curse. He was trying not to curse
I know,
and you
it was.
Did it.
I know.
That's okay. Scott Campbell is apparently making dollar bills into art and they're selling for like
he was doing that even back then. He was tattooing the inside of eggshells. That guy is like one of the unbelievably talented artists. Like
so
tattoo, but just straight up artist. Unbelievable.
Do you have any work from him?
No way. He wouldn't even like answer my email.
Okay. So if you've only been getting tattoos 4 years, I'm curious because I just got a new tattoo. And for the first time when they gave me the aftercare, I got this stuff called, I think it was called sheeting, like Saniderm sheeting. And it was like a
clear... Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Have you ever gotten this?
Hell no.
Okay, so it's like a clear sheet that they just like put the gauze on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever. And it's a clear sheet they put over top. You're going to like this. So she's like, okay, you know, your usual 2 to 3 days before you can wash it. She said, it's going to start to look like a broken soy sauce packet in there.
Mm.
So it like oozed up the juices, but then normally that would go on the gauze, right?
What's its reason though? Like that I feel like this
What's your reason, Saniderm sheeting?
It's just, a lot of this is very... in our life, just way too much overthinking. You know, Kabi does nothing, literally nothing.
Okay, so I used to do nothing, and most artists, I think it depends on the studio, are like, the less you do, the better. You mm-hmm. don't need special products. You want to keep it moisturized, but not too moisturized. Clean it well with non-fragrance soap after 3 days. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
This stuff was really cool because I could get it. I could go in the shower and it wouldn't get wet. And when I finally peeled it off 3 days later, it was like it was already in the peely phase. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then normally—
You think it was quicker?
I think it was definitely quicker than usual.
If you do nothing, it scabs over pretty quick, I find. But I— So
I'm a picker, though, and then I want to start picking at the little scab.
Yeah, me too. And then
Don't
it like ruins that tattoo. I know.
So what do you do?
Well, so— I just follow my instinct where if it feels really raw, I personally do want cream. I want like lotion or whatever on it. Like I put oil. Like I just put like, you know,
like
olive oil, grapeseed oil, coconut oil. But then if you do that, obviously it's delaying like it getting crispy, right?
Yeah.
You know? So like if you can hold out, but it's there's nothing worse that like night when you're going to sleep and like rubbing it on the pillow by accident.
It gets itchy.
I have my back, like huge piece on my upper back.
So
brutal going to sleep.
Oh, that feels painful. Who did your big back piece?
Minka Sicklinger.
Oh, she's great.
She's my fave. I mean, she does most of my tattoos, and we have collaborated. We do this tattoo residency at TS and Durga.
Wait, tell me about this. What is that?
Yeah, so we've done it twice now. We're going to do it like quarterly, and we've done it with her where she makes flash inspired by our scents, right? So this little thing. And so if you buy a bottle that day, you come in, you buy a bottle, you can get a free tattoo.
What?
You can pick like, you know, for Debaser, there's like an eyeball being sliced with a knife.
So these aren't the little drawings that Kavi draws to go on the like car things and whatever.
No.
She does her own version.
It's Minka making the flash. So there was like an acorn, like a skull for like Mississippi medicine with like the snake coming out of it. They're so awesome. I haven't been able to get them from her because it's like that. There's a line out the door right when we open and it sells out by 1 p.m.
This is what we call pulling it all together.
It really did.
You're a podcast host already. So wait, let me ask this. Was there a more, were people picking their scent based on the flash that they wanted or were you seeing, it's just they bought their fragrance and whatever picture
Some people like, they're like, this is my favorite scent. I'm so into this scent. I'm getting the flash for it. And then some, yeah, I think that was more than the visual thing. Cause it wasn't everyone. She didn't do one for everyone. Although after we do a few times, hopefully she'll have the flash for all of them.
Yeah.
Then we did a Mother's Day one where it was all like cool, like mom things and like flowers and like hearts and moms and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So it's really about like that flash and you do it right there in the store.
Yeah. And your store in Nolita has those great windows. Like I feel
like double.
I'd be standing outside. One more question on this. Were there any like tattoo versions and their first tattoo was like a DS and Durga tattoo?
I think there was someone.
No way.
I think there was someone. Also, like our president that we hired, she came in and got a tattoo for Minka. Her first one. It's amazing.
And she has no other tattoos?
Yeah.
You can never fire this woman.
She's the best.
Which one did she get? Do you remember?
No, she got a feather on her arm.
Okay. And so when people left there, were they just with like gauze or whatever, the typical?
Yeah, because they're small. You know, you can only do one every like 30 or 40 minutes. So it sold out by basically 1 p.m.
Nice. So when's the next residency?
We'll definitely do one like probably October or November.
So, okay. If people want to find out about that or if you have some other Equinox event in the future, what's the website?
dsandurga.com.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Or, you know, our Instagram.
Okay, cool. Are you ready for the interview?
#
Get ready, everyone. Here we go.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
feel real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, so if you don't know who I'm talking to yet, you do now. It's David Seth Maltz. He is the co-founder of DS and Durga, a niche fragrance brand. Your other co-founder is your wife, Kavi...
Ahuja.
That's her last name. Got it. Yeah. Okay. It's not Durga?
No, Durga is her nickname.
Oh, cute. Okay. So before we start our interview, I wanted to... We like to do a little flash round, sort of. I want to take you on a scent journey. Or actually, you're going to take me on a scent journey.
Great. So, these are like little short questions.
Yeah.
I love those.
All right. Okay. So describe to me the smell or the first scent that comes to mind when I list off a few places. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
New York City in early October, which is when this podcast is airing. What does New York smell like?
Can we be more specific about where we are in New York? It's a huge city.
That's very true. Okay. Right outside your house, when you come outside the door, I don't know where you live.
Bed-Stuy.
Okay. Bed-Stuy in early October.
I mean, you're going to get that dried leaf smell, right? If it's nighttime, it has a bacony tinge to it.
But, a bacony tinge?
You know, like my cat used to come inside in the wintertime. I grew up like north of Boston in the suburbs. And you smell his fur and it smelled a little bit like bacon.
Like fall night.
It's Crazels is the name of the...
Crazels?
Crezel. Like
C-R-E-S-O. Like
O-L, yeah. That's the smell of like that smoky, tarry smell.
Isn't there like a bush in the out west that smells like that and has the
creosote?
Same... Yeah. Is that the same smell?
No, creosote smells like desert rain. It's a really weird smell. We have the scent El Cosmico.
That's and my scent, in there. As you
okay.
know. That's my favorite from
there
DS
you go. So creosote is in that. I mean, not my Accord of creosote. And it smells bizarre, like really green, overly fresh. It is the scent of when it rains in the desert because it's geodol is the name of the chemical that the green plants give off in the rain.
Cool. Okay. Well, do you answer the question and a question I didn't even know I had, which
because you're thinking creosote and crezel, and then people are also thinking creosote is the word for like tar left over
yeah,
in like oil, and it's not the same thing.
Okay. See, sometimes those aroma molecules, like the Latin root, helps me remember. You know, they are the same, but okay, good to know. All right, the inside of your car, but then I realized maybe you don't even have a car.
Yeah, we do have a car.
What is it?
Well, we had the 1985 Mercedes-Benz Turbo Diesel, and so that's why we have that candle called 85 Diesel. It smells like that.
Okay.
So that's a crazy smell, right?
Is that street legal, an 85 Diesel?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's off the street now, though. But so that's diesel. Now we just drive like a Honda CR-V, and it smells like
all right, I want to hear that.
Like snacks.
Kids snacks.
Goldfish
crumbs. Goldfish crumbs. Okay, nice. What's the smell of the best hotel you've ever visited, and what hotel was it?
The best hotel I've stayed at. I mean, the Umayyad Bhavan Palace in Jodhpur, India.
Okay.
Or the Lake Palace in Udaipur. The Lake Palace I like better, but the one in Jodhpur,
the palace.
Yeah, it's called the Umayyad Bhavan. I mean, it's like staying in Buckingham Palace. It's insane.
And what does it smell like in there?
So it smells like a really like jasmine-y incense, like dupey, super Indian incense.
Cool.
Beautiful. In fact, the Maharaja still lives in the building. Is half the Maharaja still lives there today, and half of it is a hotel. It is crazy.
Nice. Okay. The Fat Mascara studio that you're in right now.
The soundproofing.
Yes.
It has like a very specific, like, you know, like movie theater-y type smell.
Okay.
Like, it's like a synthetic carpet store type thing.
We need to get a candle in here, stat. I always feel like it smells chalky in here.
Chalky. That's like, yeah, it
okay.
does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. Now let's get into it. Just on the same note, what's the earliest scent memory you have?
Definitely lemon soap in the dish soap. Like, do you like you would take like spices and herbs. I would just like mess with stuff in the sink. Mm-hmm. And so I can remember that smell of the like the lemon soap in there. But also I grew up with woods right behind my parents' house that had that bacony smell that we're talking about of, mm-hmm. of like, you know, leaves. But the ocean was right down the street, like, you know,
let's say
half a mile. And so my town is such that you around 2 or 3 o'clock, like a sea breeze always comes up and it smells like the ocean. It's omnipresent where, you know, it's in Swampscott, Massachusetts. So the ocean would be like to me, like not only the first childhood memory, but it also has that like primordial like thing, right? Because mm-hmm. it's the ocean.
And your origin story,
right?
Yes. So getting into your origin story, actually, aren't you a musician? Like, how did you mm-hmm. even get into perfumery?
So yeah, I was like, I was a musician. I was waiting tables, and we started. I wanted to just make some of my. I got all these old manuals of like making, you know, creams and lotions and tonics. And I wanted to make a bay rum. I had this bay rum and it didn't last. And I was like, why can't I just make it myself? So I bought like rum and spices and make it and it didn't last. I was like, why doesn't this last? And so I started, I'm just like an obsessive person as far as like creatively, I will go down a rabbit hole and figure it out. So then I just started getting oils and then synthetics and just like it, I just went so deep into it. And Kavi, who was my girlfriend at the time, was like, why don't we just start a business? Like, you know, everyone's doing it. It was like, you know, it was in Brooklyn in like 2009. Like,
oh my gosh, Brooklyn made. Just put an ampersand on it.
Exactly. Like everyone.
Oh, you do have an ampersand.
Yeah, DS and Durga, I know. And Co. It's just like everything was, you know, it was like that. And, you know, our friends had started businesses in jewelry and clothes, ties, shoes, you know. And then I thought, okay, so we did that and it took off really quickly. And then I slowly realized like, oh, wow, I can sort of translate what I want to talk about in music into fragrance. And as I became better at putting the hours into understanding how to create fragrance, you know, that I could sort of talk about it even better in music, no matter what. If I want to make a song that's sort of trying to sound like 13th century Viking music, you'll probably be able to tell like I'm a white guy from America that mostly plays in 4/4 time and like grew up like knowing the blues. Like
okay.
I can't get rid of that. But if I make something that smells like 13th century Viking scent, like I'm not in it. You can't tell I did it. It could more, I can make something that realistically smells like an old castle, like an old hut type thing,
yeah.
You know? So I feel like there's more creative power in that I can like maybe even do more. I mean, I'll always want, I still make music. I just came out with an album last year. I made scents that go along with it. It's called Hiko Men. It's on Spotify, H-I-K-O Men.
Nice.
And I'm in a surf band, you know, we played at the store. And uh-huh. So I'm like never going to give up that dream. It comes up every once in a while. And I also just write music all the time. Like I probably have written 500 songs in my life. I have so many songs.
And so you're basically a self-taught perfumer is what mm-hmm. I hear you say.
I am, yeah.
So I feel like if someone was wanting to get into perfumery, would you recommend that route?
Yeah, I would say just, yeah, if you have the love for it, then yeah, buy as many materials as possible, get a scale and write down every single thing that you did. All a perfume is, at the end of the day, is the difference in weight between materials. I wish someone had told me that because I created a whole system that was based on volume, and volume changes as it's hotter or drier in the air.
Okay.
But I measured out in drops how many things could fit into like an eighth of a teaspoon all the way up to like cups and gallons of every single oil because they were all different. But like
not just oils, but also you were ordering, I'm imagining like
anything, like anything that I was making. So it's just like If any perfumer hears this, they'd laugh. Like, it's ridiculous what I was doing. So all
you know
it
they have
is,
books full of these, like, base formulas if you go to perfumery school.
You can. And you can look – you can learn stuff online and everything. I think it is a matter of, like, training your nose, understand – and even when you do figure out how to make something, the big hurdle is regulatory stuff. You can't just make something in your house because – and put 20% jasmine in it. Like, most people don't know, you can only put 0.6% jasmine in a perfume. So that wasn't the case, like, before. For I think 2012, right?
Why did they change that? Do you know?
Yeah, like benzyl alcohol is something that's in there and it's a sensitizer. So some things are just because like a certain amount of the population can have a sensitivity to it or an mm-hmm. allergic reaction. Some of it is because it's carcinogenic. Some because when you go out in the sun, it could give you a rash. So the board that makes these rules, IFRA, is trying to like put their best foot forward and make perfume as safe as possible for people.
Right.
But there's a huge disconnect between what the consumer knows and what like a hobby perfumer would know and what someone who really makes perfume would
know. I've dabbled and then like realized, oh wow, I probably just made this thing that could probably kill someone, because some of those molecules are really well also
it's the opposite. The molecules are fine. It's the
naturals.
Oh, they were synthetics.
Oh, the naturals are actually the
this more... is people think like, oh, all natural must be safe. Like, you know, white birch oil isn't extremely toxic, but if you, you know, ISO-E Super or like Velvione, not so much, you know?
But white birch oil is.
Yeah, or wintergreen, or I mean, almost all regulations that come out these days is about naturals. It's about a chemical within naturals. Your body doesn't care if you put methyl eugenol directly on your skin or you put rose that has methyl eugenol. It's the methyl eugenol that causes a reaction for someone.
Okay.
So we have to go in and either clean, like molecularly distill the rose and take out the methyl eugenol, or you have to build a rose accord that doesn't have that in it, you know, or you, there's a safety threshold. It's a whole.
So if you're thinking about something, and then I'll get back on track with the self-taught perfumery. If you're looking at something like rose, like how many of those types of molecules make up like what you would think of as rose smell?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. I don't know the answer to how many chemicals make up like a completed rose, but I understand very much how to make a rose accord. And I will say that you need something that smells like lemons, cloves, geraniums, and violets, and then sort of this the damascones, which is like an apple juicy type smell. If you have those together, you start getting towards like rose. And that and so much of perfume is like a house of cards. You like add another card and it makes it seem like the rose is there. And if you take out one, it would like fall apart.
And I'm sure in the right volume, like you can have three of this, three of this, three of this. But if you put four of one, that smells completely different. Is that the case?
Yeah.
So if you go to school for this, it could take years and years and years, and you get the books where there's the basic formulas, like here's a rose, here's how you build accords. Now that you mix in the perfumery world, you guys are like up for awards and things. When you run into perfumers that went to Grasse and they did the whole rigmarole, do you ever have tension with them? Or they ever look down upon the way you do things?
No, because listen, there's more astronauts than there are perfumers, right? There's so...
Is that true?
There's so few people who actually make perfume, know how to make the formulas. There's just not that many. And so literally the people that I've, you know, met like Mark Buxton, Antoine Lee, Pierre Negrin, I mean, all these people, no, they don't tend to have like the craziest ego. That's the way they're like portrayed. But I don't think so. If you're making a perfume and putting it out, aren't you a perfumer? Like, who cares? You know, like Joe Satriani and Keith Richards. This is I always use this example. Who's a better guitar player, Joe Satriani or Keith Richards?
Well, I'm going to go with Keith Richards because I have no idea who the other guy is.
Okay. Well, that's even funny. So yeah, Joe Satriani, you know, plays 4 million notes a minute and technically can
do...
You know, he's like a guitarist. Like this, like
what is he
Steve
playing?
Vai. Like these people who just play like a million notes.
Is he in a band that I might know?
That's probably called his name, Joe Satriani.
Is he like a session musician?
No, in Guitar Magazine, they'd be like, he's one of the best guitarists ever. But Keith Richards, who plays like, you know.
I didn't even think he was a guitarist.
Super sloppy. Like, yeah. But you could practice and learn to play like Joe Satriani. You can't learn how to play like Keith Richards or Link Wray or Muddy Waters or East Bay Wray.
Okay, so who are you, Joe Satriani of perfume or Keith Richards?
I mean, come on.
Either one's going to sound like a big ego.
It is true. Yeah, so I'm staying away from that one. But let's just say it doesn't matter. If you make it, you do it. If you make music, you're a musician. If you make perfume, you're a perfumer. And I don't think that the perfumers who are trained care. I've only met one other like self-taught perfumer. And he works at Firmenich.
So I've met a lot of people that are self-taught perfumers. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this, a lot of it smells like shit, to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
And I think the rare thing is that, so you made this company, but actually people buy your stuff and it's gotten bigger and bigger over the last 10 years. What's been the biggest challenge for you? Like, you're like, okay, I knew this smelled good, but getting it into a bottle and was it the regulation stuff you were talking about?
I think that like in the beginning, yeah, listen, I can put 20% jasmine in like almost anything and you'd be like, this smells really good. So that's like an easy trick, and it probably would have flown 10 years ago, but it's not how it is anymore. You have to follow certain regulations, right? And so to be able to know how to make something that smells like it has 20% jasmine in it that does not takes a lot of like know-how to figure that out.
So we've been talking a lot about, you mentioned that like in this 800 palate, organ, what do you call it?
It's an organ, yeah.
Okay. How many of those do you think are natural versus how many of those are just like pure molecular synthetic things you ordered on the interwebs? which is not probably how you do it.
Right. yeah, that's, I'd have to think, I mean, at least 50-50, but.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, synthetics are somewhat more important to the art of perfume than naturals, but you could never, purely synthetic fragrance is pretty drab in a lot of ways. Although, like, we make our scent, I Don't Know What, which is now our best seller.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Purely synthetic. So you okay. can do it.
And then that one, the molecule ones that everybody likes, mm-hmm. molecule 1, 2, 3, 4, those are purely synthetic. I'm asking this question because there's a lot of talk about trying to make natural perfumery, and a lot of people thinking like the one ingredient that they think is the most bothersome that could cause allergies, that might have estrogenic effects, cancerous effects, synthetic fragrance, because you don't know what's in it.
So it's the very opposite. Everything you said just
okay.
there is
okay.
All, most of the problems, go read any like aromatherapy book. Almost, there's like a list, like don't give this for pregnant people. The naturals are, it's just chemicals. Again, like
right.
Paracrystal acetate is naturally
but
present
what,
here
what
or there.
But a layperson thinks of as a natural, like, oh, I extracted this from the plant and it's
natural
just...
perfumery is going to be really tough to, okay, first and foremost, what most people expect their perfume to smell like is not what a natural perfume smells like.
Okay.
Number one. So they'll... And it's stronger at the front and lasts less.
Okay.
Right? So a good perfume should be like pleasant in the front and last quite a while. So it's kind of inverse to that, right? You're like, whoa, this is crazy muddy. Oh, it lasted 2 hours. So already you're getting that. And the perception sometimes is like, I spent this amount of money on it. It should last long, like as if like the more something costs, the lasts long, the longer
you
it lasts.
I see why people might think that.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it's just not true molecularly speaking, right? I mean, the things that last the longest on your skin are like crazy industrial cheap, like aldehyde type stuff, right? A dash of it lasts forever. So that you have to get over, number one, that. But safety wise, oh my God, put an all natural perfume into like a safety check. You can't use 0.6% jasmine. You can use 6% vetiver, 0.1% oak moss, 0.1% rose in a lot of ways, 0.6, I think, for ylang. Ylang, I think of as like one of the healthier sweet oils in the world. Like I smell it on a plane to calm down. I just would wear it on my skin, but you're not supposed to. I mean, you can only put in our formula that goes to market, you can only have 0.6%.
Okay.
In there, right?
So what you're getting is that when you're working only with naturals, you're limiting way down what...
The regulatory is limited. The cost is going to be exorbitant.
Okay.
From like an environmental sourcing perspective, it's not like too responsible compared to synthetics, which can be, sustainably...
Right.
You know, of course, there are practices like Robert A. and Firmenich have really cool programs for sustainable
naturals,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I use those all the time.
So it's not necessarily better for the environment to use a natural. It's not necessarily better health-wise.
I believe not. Some people believe differently. But yes, those statements I agree with personally.
Do you think if the people who make us label ingredients, you know how it just says parfum right now,
mm-hmm.
the like inky standard for labeling. Do you think if we had to break that down into everything that's in it, it would benefit the customer in any way?
I've thought about like doing it. So it's hard because there's such proprietary information and the fragrance companies themselves who make the aroma chemicals, they don't want like too much oversight and they're spending so much money doing like the safety testing and it's not like to go to market, it has to be really like sound and,
okay.
and it's all like certified by IFRA in order to do it.
What does IFRA stand for, by the way? You mentioned
like
that before.
International Fragrance and Research Association, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, we'll check that.
They're super important. The boards of it are usually people from these companies. And what happened, so how could a government regulate alpha methyl ionone? They don't even know what that is, right?
Right.
So only the people who make it can actually...
And that's why we're not getting all that information. It's proprietary.
Yeah, and also...
And it's also...
People always use the word chemical. They're like, oh,
yeah.
Is there chemicals? Like, chemical is bad. Like, you know, water is a chemical. Like, everything
yes.
you put in your body
yes.
has... Like, chemical is not a bad term. And synthetic, too. Like, I think it's really misunderstood.
Got it. So fragrances, what I hear you saying, are more regulated on the front end than even like a face cream would be because of IFRA. Because, you know, you don't have to face creams don't get tested before people are allowed to sell them. They only pull them back if there's a reaction. But
That's not true. a face cream is the highest. So there's 11 categories of regulation, right?
Yeah.
And face cream, I think, is like number two. Number one is like baby's toys, like children's toys.
But it's not like they had to go do, they have to do safety testing, but it's not like they tested on a bunch of, nobody
they
in the
do.
Government
it,
does. Nobody in the.
No, the company has to do what's known as like
is.
A human repeat.
But there's no like FDA. We tested this before it went to market.
You do have to do, for cosmetics, you have to have it tested. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What I think I'm asking is, do you think that fragrances that you're more likely to have a safety issue with another product other than fragrances? Or it's
well, what's safety? Because like, are people really like dying? Part of me thinks that it's very much like overthinking this kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
Because
that's what I'm good at.
Well, I think we're very prone to question everything now, right? We don't believe anyone or anything, and people think like corporations are evil and that kind of whole thing.
Yeah.
And so you think that like you're being like screwed over, and it's like for like economy, or people are putting like unsafe, you know, safe things. But to me, like people, I feel like I hope that. You know, I trust in like people, and people are trying to do the best they can.
Yeah.
In fact, I would think it's much more dangerous to, I mean, it's not dangerous to me, but a handmade perfume in someone's house where they distilled some oil from a tree that they found in a forest near their house, like that is bonkers. That's not like, how could anyone regulate that? Maybe that thing was sprayed with like, you know. What do you put
pesticides
on? Yeah, pesticides.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's going like, who knows? And then they put so much carcinogenic things in there, and you really
don't know.
So
I took us way off topic. Sorry.
No, but I think it's so interesting because like the labeling thing, like transparency, it's hard to go that route with molecule names that would take up the whole box anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're trade names, right? Like, so someone discovers a molecule.
Like that ISOE super one, right?
Right. You know, I mean, which is like dimethyl jasminate. It's a much longer name. ISOE super is how they marketed it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's...
How would you even go about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Back on track. What perfume came out in recent years that you wish you had created?
I do not think like that.
You don't? There's nothing you admire elsewhere?
I admire things, but I don't have like...
Okay, so what do you admire that isn't from your brand?
Oh, sure. Tons. I mean, I like a lot of Frederick Malle's fragrances. I mean, Dominique Gropian, he makes amazing things. Portrait of a Lady, I would say, I think is amazing. I wish I made that. That's a great, great scent.
Okay, Portrait of a Lady.
So there you go. Yeah, it's amazing.
And what's your like... an ingredient that challenges you that you want to figure out to do something with? What's on your mind for the future?
Man, I'm always making...
Or place even. I don't know.
Or what?
Or place. I know a lot of your fragrances have like a...
Landscapes. I mean, I have a million things. I want to come out with a really good orange blossom. Been working on that. It's supposed to be done this month and October, and then it's going to come out early next
What does that mean,
fall?
It's supposed to be done? Aren't you the one in charge?
Yeah, but I've just like, that's the deadline for like to show the scents to like press and stuff. And I'm like not done with it yet. Like
you're still tinkering.
I'm still tinkering. It's a rabbit hole because it's going to be an
Who gives
enhancer.
You these deadlines?
Our marketing team like trying to be like
keep you on track.
Yeah. To try to like make it by that time.
Okay.
And listen, I'm usually way ahead of schedule, but I've just gone down this rabbit hole because I want it to be, it's in like an enhancer thing. Like, I don't know what, where you can floralize anything. You can like.
With an orange blossomy.
Well, it has like that orange blossom water type aspect,
okay.
Which just like
okay.
enlivens everything else it touches.
Okay.
But it's very like, you know, transparent, and you could wear it by yourself or you could like enliven something else with it.
Challenging. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. You said you're not a makeup person, but we always like to end our interviews with what are some of your favorite beauty products?
Okay.
Grooming products, fine. You must have stuff in your hair. What's going on?
Yeah. I love this one. I don't know what this means. It's Billy Jealousy. You ever heard of them?
Okay. Yeah.
Because they sell it at like the haircut place that I go to, George's 2 and Park Slope. Shout out to them. They're awesome.
George's 2? Where's George's 1?
It's all like down the street from it, I think.
Okay.
It's right near the Barclays. Man, they're the best.
Okay.
And they have this Billy Jealousy. It's called Mud because it's a matte one. I really like that. Generally, people give us so much beauty products, right? And so we just like I'll just use that. I don't.
Who are people? Who's just walking up to you and giving you beauty products?
Like Jordan Samuel. Do you know who that is? He has like an amazing line. He's given us a bunch of products. That's been with me for a long time. I basically am like a bar of soap guy. Right. I love bar soap, but I don't use much like I wouldn't wash. I wash my face with a bar of soap and everything. I will, if need, like use like oil if like after I shave or something. There is something by, I think they're called R & Co.
Yeah.
Is that
hair brand.
Well, they have this like this aftershave like oil thing that smells like pine that is like really good. And I'm just running out of it. Someone gave it to me for free like 5 years ago. And I'm like, I'm going to buy this again.
Okay, we'll support find out them. What that is and put it on the blog.
Okay.
Guess what? Our time is up.
Done.
How did we do?
It was great.
Was this fun being your first co-host on a podcast?
It's amazing.
Okay. Thanks for coming in. It's time for Raise a Wand, which I just pulled on you at the last minute. So I don't know if you're prepared, but you know what it's all about. What are you going to raise a wand to?
This band, Fontaines D.C.
Fontaines D.C.?
Have you heard them?
No. Why do we need to listen to this band?
Oh, my God. It's they're from Ireland. They're from Dublin.
Okay.
And it's just like great rock and roll that's like not super original, but has like very original things about it. He sings in an Irish accent. Unbelievably good lyrics.
Okay.
Like zero pretension. They're so awesome. I saw them at Bowery and I'm just like, they're going to be huge.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, guess what? I asked you what you raise a wand to and I didn't have one prepared. So we're going to end on that. Amazing.
Fontaines, DC.
Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
Five.
Five, please.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.